So we ended up last week about the Gechayim. So we'll start the subject again. And the subject starts with the Mishnah in Sechem Shabbos. That is Machlokes Beshama Bishilo, whether one Bichlau can visit the sick or go make a Shiva visit on Shabbos. Beshama says no, and Bishilo says yes. They're learning it out of the same pasuk. What we would be bringing from the Navi of Mimtzai Cheftecha, of that one should avoid taking care of your needs on Shabbos. The difference is that Beis Hillel has the deal, as you learn from the Pasuk, that says, your needs you shall not take care of, but needs of Shomayim, meaning things that are related to Mitzvah, are permitted. And Beis Shammai doesn't have that limud, and therefore, even if it is Mitzvah related, Beis Shammai forbids it, whereas Beis Hillel allows it. We, as we have seen throughout what we've been discussing, is we allow all issues like this of Mitzvah Cheftecha that are related to Mitzvah that's wanted to do. Like we said, you're allowed to connect with Stakah, you're allowed to discuss things that have to do with Stakah, you're allowed to make a Shiberach in Shul. So various things like that, we said, are permitted. So again, we're going to go here with the Shita of Beis Hillel, which allows us to visit the sick and to make a Shiva visit on Shabbos. However, it's not so straightforward because the Gemara then on the Mishnah makes a comment, which means that they allowed it, but you know, with the Eminakrech, because is with difficulty, they allowed such a thing. The reason for this is that even though essentially visiting sick people and visiting, making a Shiva visit is a mitzvah, and a mitzvah should be mutter, but you're talking about circumstances that are distressing, saddening, and therefore we're afraid that a person is going to be distressed and saddened on Shabbos, which is not from the correct mood. On Shabbos, you're supposed to be in a positive outlook, a happy mood, and not depressed and distressed. However, there is a mitzvah, and therefore one may go, but because hitiru, therefore they said that it was with difficulty that they allowed. Based on that, the Achronim point out, that the correct behavior is that a person shouldn't make Shabbos his main or only visiting day. You know, I'm so busy during the week, I work, I do this, Shabbos off, Shabbos is the day off, Shabbos is going to make it my project to go visit people who are sick or are in Rachman Litzon in Shiva. So that is not the correct thing to do, to make, you know, there's some people that say, oh, you know, I want to do the mitzvah, because quite every Monday I'm going to visit someone. I'll do it every Shabbos. Well, in other words, you're saying that, oh, Shabbos is the perfect day for visiting the sick. The answer is no, Shabbos is not the sick. One may visit the sick, but it's not the perfect day to set aside to do that. Obviously, if you didn't go visit the sick people or Shiva visit whatever during the week, and an opportunity comes up on Shabbos, and the opportunity is of such a value that the sick person is going to appreciate your visit, or the other is going to appreciate it. It's going to bring him comfort, so you're going to be able to help him, you're going to be able to make him feel better. So then there's an enormous mitzvah involved, and of course, you don't say, well, just because you didn't go during the week, don't go on Shabbos, even at the, to the detriment of the one being visited. Rather, we say over here, no, you may go do the mitzvah on Shabbos. We're just telling a person that when you set down your routine and you look at your habits of what you usually do, don't say that Shabbos is my day for visiting sick. Yeah. Shabbos is the day to catch up with your great aunt and go visit her. That's not because she's sick, because she's a nice person and it doesn't make you sad when you visit her. And Shabbos is a good time to go visit, fine. But to say that Shabbos is my day to visit sick people, that we don't want you to do. We don't want you to make it. That you set aside your Shabbos as you, obviously someone who goes every day goes also Shabbos and doesn't point out that it's making Shabbos the day to visit. The other thing is that the Halacha says that one may not daven for a sick person on Shabbos, unless that person is Mesukun Miyomoy, he is in a life-threatening situation. Unless that person is in a life-threatening situation, so then you should not be davening for a person who is ill, who is not in a life. One of the big questions brought on the Beis Yosef of the Brahman Shabura is how do we make a Mishaberach L'Chole on Shabbos? And the answer to that is because we don't make the standard nusach, we replace the nusach with a different. The question is, the Meister, we don't replace it, we just add in the new Nusach. How does that work? Okay, we'll leave that up to the rabbis to decide how they want to in their shul. But it's a good question, and it is brought down in the Poskim already. How can it be done? And therefore, before one sits down and davens for, take your cholim list, and you say to Elim, and you daven for them, ask the Shaila whether it's Bichlal Mutter to do that on Shabbos, if the cholim on your list are not in the gather of Thomas the Bishop.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very confident.
So, getting back to what we're saying, therefore we're saying that it's not correct to daven for six people on Shabbos. Therefore, one of the problems is that the mitzvah of visiting Bikuchoyim, of doing Bikuchoyim, is not only helping him and he feel better, but is also davening for him. It's part of the mitzvah of Bikuchoyim, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Maradea, that the mitzvah of Bikuchoyim is to daven for the Cholim. It's brought down the difference between davening for the Cholim in his presence or when you're not in his presence. We say that the Melachim who help bring our tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu do not understand Lash, meaning languages that are not Lashon HaKodesh, and therefore in a private setting one should not daven in a language that is not Lashon HaKodesh because it will not be delivered correctly, whereas if you're in the presence of a Shechina, so then you can daven in every language. It's the stuff the Gabe is saying, for example, we have in our tefillahs, we have Yom Kippur that we say on Shabbos after Kriyas HaTorah before Musaf. It is in Aramaic, and the Mishabura brings that were you to be davening Be'echidus, you were not in a minion, so then you should omit these tefillahs because you don't daven the Lashon Aramis, meaning in Aramaic, in the absence of a minion. So it's brought down there also that if you are in the presence of a sick person, so the Shechina is in a sick person's presence, and therefore you can daven in any Lashon. And you don't have to mention the person by name, you can just say this person, and you can say, "Akadosh Baruch Hu, please send this person a for Shleima." One should always add on a tefillah like that, the Sarcha Achari itself, brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. And if not, then the Nusach brought down in Shulchan Aruch is Hamakoy Yishlach Rafur Shleima, Lachoyle Ployle Ployle Ploynis, the Sarcha Achari itself. If that was, if you're not in by a sick person and you daven for them, not in front of them, then you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send them and you name them a Rafur Shleima. That is the Nusach that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Now on Shabbos, we say that you're not supposed to daven this Nusach because that's the tefillah. And with that type of tefillah, you're not supposed to tachanunim, you're not supposed to say on Shabbos. Therefore, what should you say on Shabbos? So the Poskim say on Shabbos, you're supposed to say Shabbos hi miliz oig urafur kroa velovoi. Shabbos is a day to refrain from crying, from screaming out, so turning to the Baruch Hu in tefillah. Urafur kroa velovoi, but you comfort the person who you're daven for and say, don't worry. I know today is not a day for davening, but Lamaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending you a refuah anyway, it's on the way, and therefore don't feel bad that I'm not davening. Approximately the translation of what we're saying is that we're saying we don't daven today, but still you will, the refuah is on the way. There's an opinion that you add another four words, Barachamov Merubim Beshifsu Bashalom, with the machlokes, whether that's an addition or a machlokes. Again, it's brought that the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim brings to say them. In Yeridah, he leaves them out. The Ramon Aruch Chaim says also to leave them out. Some people make a compromise. I've seen in some Sidurim and some Halacha Svarim to bring down that one just add the words Vashif to Vashalom and not Barachim on Merubin. And therefore, the Nusach would be Shabbos hi milizog, or Rafur Krav Elavai, Vashif to Vashalom. That's the Nusach that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that one says when it's a sick person, and that is your form of davening without davening. Now, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention what to say to an avo, what should you be saying to him, and so there's a machlokas achronim as to why did the Shulchan Aruch not say anything. So some say, well, because the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to say Shabbos Yom Milizah, the Rufur Krav Elavai, that's applying to both cases. Why? Because we say that an avo, to a certain extent, the family of the aveli need a Rufur, something happened in the family, there was an event, sad event in the family, the family needs a refuah. Mamele, we're going to daven for them. How does this play out? Is we see the Gemara says that noilad ben zachar misrat mehamishpacha. after a family has been bereaved and lost a member of the family, if subsequent to that a male child is born, that brings a refuah to the family. What Chazal say? How that works, I don't know. I'm not any HPMA, but I'm just repeating what Chazal say. Therefore, they learn from that. You see, the family needs a refuah. If they can say that when the baby is born, the refuah comes, it means they needed a refuah. So maybe you treat them like cholim, that usually you daven for avodim. And when it's Shabbos, you say the logo and lashon of Shabbos, the lizard before kohen lavoi, if you want to add the two words, v'shivs to b'shalom. However, the conclusion of the modern achronim follows the Shlo HaKadosh, who says that you say a slightly different lashon, and you say Shabbos he milenachem unachoma kohen lavoi. Shabbos is a day not to daven for a person's nachoma, but the nachoma is coming. Because generally you say, Hamokah ben Nachem is spent the self shire of Elisir Yerushalayim, that's the notion that one says, and Gavin says the Brochu, Hamokah, that he should send this Ovel a Nechoma. And Shabbos, you say, Shabbos is Milen Nachem, Shabbos is not a time to be Menachem, but Nechoma, Kravel Ovel, it's Tammuz. Okay, so that's the halachos of Bikur Cholim and Bikur Avelim on Shabbos. So as you said, it's not the first choice of time to go, but it will be to'elis, so the person will enjoy it. The person will feel comforted, ease, or whatever it is that he's going to feel positive from your visit in Zichah, Mitzvah, Gila, and other reasons. Hold back, and when doesn't happen, read the Nusach on Shabbos. A couple more halachas on speech on Shabbos, and then hopefully we'll be at the end of this chapter and move on to Mirad Akum. So, an interesting question. You're walking on the streets on Shabbos, and a car pulls over and asks for direction, and you discern that the driver is Jewish and unfortunately has not yet appreciated that on Shabbos he should not be driving, and he asks you for directions. How do you reply? Because are you involved now in Messiah Lidvar Avera? You're giving directions and drive off and follow your direction, and you're now enabling him to continue driving. You are become a party to his transgression of his Chilul Shabbos. So the Shmir Shabbos gives two etzes on what to do and one what one should not do. It brings it from different titzeliers and the Shamazam and different contemporary sources on how to deal with it. One thing he says is avoid telling a lie. You don't tell a person, I don't know, when you do know, because that is something that you don't do. You don't tell a lie. There's no purpose over here. Not going to help you. What you can do is you can tell what we would call a white lie. But what we mean over here is you tell something which is ambiguous. And if he understands it to mean you don't know, so be it. But you meant something else, there will be more. And therefore, what you tell him is, I cannot tell you the way. Now, if he understands cannot mean that you don't know, so let it be so. But you are being mechaven, I can't tell you the way, because today is Shabbos and I don't talk about it. So one way to get past it is someone stops you and asks you for directions and you answer, sorry, I can't tell you the way. Now he thinks that means you just, this is an interesting way of saying I don't know. You know it's because of Shabbos, and he drives off and uses some other form of getting there. So halachically that's not a problem, because essentially what you've said is the truth. There is another way that he brings down, and that is to tell the person, I believe that it is also to drive on Shabbos, but because I'm afraid that if I don't tell you, you're going to be driving around in circles and get lost, and therefore, in order to minimize the time you're going to be spending in the car, I'll give you directions of the shortest way to get there, and therefore, go this way and that way and that way. In other words, you preface what you're saying, as in, I'm not doing it because I want you to drive, I'm doing it so that you should drive less. That will be another way of doing it. If you know or you feel that what the person is doing is he's driving for Pikuach Nefesh, he's asking you directions to the closest clinic, doctor, hospital, whatever it is, and even if you don't see outright Pikuach Nefesh, but you even have a suspect that what he's dealing with is Pikuach Nefesh, then when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, any suspect, you go and you treat it like the Knefesh, and therefore obviously you don't hesitate and don't give any excuses, and you give him the best directions possible, because if there's a possibility that it's because Knefesh is what he's doing as a mitzvah, non-Aveira, irrelevant of what type of Jew he is. Another interesting halacha is when crossing the road and causing a car to brake, come to a halt, idle while you cross, and then accelerate to take off again. Is that a problem on Shabbos? And the answer, according to Rav Noivud, is yes. So now that I'm saying it, I'm just thinking, he says when it's a Jewish driver. So I missed the footnote that I've just now. And that is, there is a difference between a Jewish driver and a Goyish driver. A Jewish driver, we don't want him to do anything. We don't want to increase in any way his Kittel Shabbos. And the way an internal combustion engine works is that as you hit the gas, accelerator, as some people call it, you're opening up a flow of fuel into a cylinder where that fuel is going to be ignited by a spark and it burns. That is Havara Mamash Doraisa. And the more you press the accelerator, the more fuel goes in, the more fires you're making. It's not one continuous fire. Every drop that goes in explodes. It's more drops and faster and faster and faster happening. So when a person accelerates, he's giving off, he's burning, making many more fires than if he's just idling or cruising. And therefore, when a person hits the brakes, hitting the brakes might be actually lowering the amount of fire that's going on in the internal combustion engine, but it's lights, maybe doing other sorts of actions. But the problem is that now that he's come to a stop or slow down, and then he takes off again, so when he takes off again, there's going to be an increase in the fuel that's been burning. And therefore, and also while he stands idle. So if you were to take an average of how much fuel a person would use to drive from point A to point B, with stopping in the middle and without stopping in the middle, we will see that if he stops in the middle, it's going to be more fuel. Therefore, our causing of this man to stop, irrelevant of why he does it, which I'll explain in a moment why he said that, will be more fuel used, and therefore more Chilul Shabbos Rachmana Litzlan, and therefore we want to avoid that. So if you're standing at a place in the street, irrelevant of whether you have right of way or not, whether you're jaywalking or crossing at a official pedestrian crossing, where the driver by law has to come to a stop, that's irrelevant, because if you turn around and make as if you're not crossing the street, he will just carry on driving, and therefore he's stopping for your sake, and therefore you are causing him to chas be over a more Kiddush Shabbos. Therefore, if you are walking in a street and you see a car coming and you want to cross the street, don't be in a way where the driver might react to your presence by slowing down or stopping. Rather, make it clear to him that you're not crossing and you should pass, and you only cross when the street is totally clear and when it won't affect any flow of traffic. However, as I said, this, Rav Noivud explains, applies to when the driver in question is a Jew, obviously a non-God-fearing Jew, but a Jew. Whereas, if the driver were to be a Goy, so then, if you are crossing at a proper crossing, a pedestrian crossing, then the driver, essentially, he's stopping for his own sake. He is stopping because he can get a ticket if he doesn't, he can cause an accident. It is for his own safety and his own health and his own politeness of keeping to the rules of the road that he's coming to a stop. And since he's a Goy, he's allowed to use more fuel. He's allowed to, we don't have to worry about him driving off afterwards or anything like that. Therefore, we don't care why he stops, if he stops to protect himself. Which would mean that if a person's jaywalking and causes a car to come to a stop, so true, the reason why he's stopping is because he doesn't want to run over the person who's stopping and then accused of homicide or manslaughter or whatever it is. But that was caused by the person crossing, and the person crossing their fault into the case, and would be liable for causing the guy to stop and then have to accelerate again, and therefore directly his fault, and therefore would be also what you do. True, it would be awesome and Ravonna, not the Raisa, but it would still be awesome. Whereas if you're crossing at a legal crossing, which would be, say, a pedestrian crossing, if it would be at a traffic light, and the light is green in your favor and red in his, so he's anyway stopping, so it's nothing with you, and for sure it's fine. That would be even if there would be a Jewish driver that's coming to a stop, because he's going to stop anyway. But we're talking about where he's going to be stopping because of use. The pedestrian crossing, so there's a swara to say that it's the Goyish driver, you don't have to worry because he's going to be stopping for the law and not for your sake. There's no danger involved. It's not like you're already in the street and now he has to stop not to hit the person. But rather he stops because he sees the person wants this. And why does he do that? Because that's the law, and that's, he can get a fine or a ticket for not doing that. So then that is, as far as to say, well, the Goya, that is Mashekhov. It is mutter across the street in the case of the Goy. L'cha'ayra, I'm adding this on my own accord, if you're living in a city that is Rav Goyim, even though there is a fair amount of, unfortunately, Yidden who are not yet from living there, unless you know for certain, l'cha'ayra you can go according to the Rav and expect that any car that comes past, unless you know certainly clearly otherwise that the driver is Goy. So probably, I would say, in most cities in Kutz Laaretz, not all cities in Kutz Laaretz, that is the case. Even cities that are highly populated with Yidden, they're usually from Yidden. And so to have a rove of non-from Yidden who drive on Shabbos versus a meal, to have a majority of non-from Yidden versus a minority of Goyim outside of Eretz Yisrael, that you have that. But so therefore, I would say, generally speaking, if you are walking, crossing the street in a city outside of Eretz Yisrael and a car is coming and it is your right to cross the pedestrian crossing, you don't have to be choshish that the person is a Yid unless you have clear evidence otherwise. Whereas here in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, if you are in a city like Tel Aviv, very high chances are the car that you might, Rachmana Litzlan, see on Shabbos would be driven by a interesting, I saw Rabbi Karp brings in his Sefer on Shabbos that the, as we have said, that Shabbos essentially is the time to talk in Divrei Torah about the parasha, talk about halacha, talk shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talk about Simchas Miris, to talk about Dvarim Betelim is mutter, but it is not the preferred form of conversation, and if it can be avoided, Kodesh Omeloi, it is praiseworthy thing. Obviously, not to be with tired people, and if someone talks to you and you ignore them, that is not nice. And if they want to talk about something, as long as there's no Israel involved, and not Yosh Parah or Chidus Chasr Shalom, of course you should answer them, and especially make them feel comfortable. It's your mitzvah to make other people feel comfortable. But if you, on your own account, when you're not, when you feel no need to talk, Dvarim Betelim, you don't, Kodesh Omeloi, holy thing to do. So Rabbi Karp points out that in certain circumstances, people might gather together for a event, which might even be an event that has to do with the mitzvah, but the habit is that when these people get together, what is the topic of conversation? The topic of conversation is the latest news, the latest politics, and even if it doesn't involve Lashon Hara, really politics and news, is able to be that way clean of Lashon Hara and Rechidos, but even if it was clean of that, nevertheless, this is something to avoid. Ad kidei kach, that he says that if a person knows that he's going to go to a Suddhas Mitzvah, for example, Shalom Zohar, and the people there are going to be still sitting and talking around or Divrei Hevel, Divrei Dvarim Betelim, it is no longer a mitzvah to go to such a Shalom Zohar. Even as he said, a Suddhas Shalom Zohar is a mitzvah, nevertheless, if that's what it causes, there's not a mitzvah to go, and he brings from the Machzik Bracha. The Machzik Bracha was the Chidah. The Chidah was one of the Goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the old Yishuv was supported by generous donations from the communities in Kutz Laaretz. It was, to a certain extent, the communities in Kutz Laaretz had their representatives who lived in Eretz Yisrael and sat and learned Torah and kept the mitzvahs of Kutz Laaretz on their behalf. And therefore, it was like an accepted understanding that you would support, that each community supported some Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael on their behalf to fulfill these mitzvahs. So it was a very common thing. You had the old Yishuv was divided up in kolelim, as they called it, not to do with the kolelim as we call it today, but it meant sub-communities that were originated. Those who originated from Germany were supported by funds that came from Germany, and those that were from Hungary were supported by people from Hungary, or Ungary, or Poland, various things like that. And they used to send a shadlan, a person who was, he was the original mashulach, who went abroad to pick up these funds and collect them, and very often solicit them as well, but then more so easily. And very often the person who went collecting was taka a professional shnorer, as we would say today, but rather a talmachach. One of them was Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai, known to us as the Chidah, an enormous talmachach with a photographic memory, and he traveled the Jewish world to collect funds on behalf of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. While he was abroad, he visited many local libraries and Oitzvarim, and he wrote works on different, he cataloged basically all the svarim that have ever been published in Jewish literature up to his time, and try to make a list of every single author that existed. He wrote the Shem and Gedolim, apart from the fact that he wrote the works of Halacha and all the rest. He was an enormous Talmid Chacham, a very interesting person. And in his Sefer Machzik Bracha, he says how wonderful it is, the minhag in Yerushalayim, that when people go to Eish Halom Zacha, they come in, they say Malotov, and they go out without saying. It is because these events very often lead to the type of talk that is forbidden, or is for sure not recommended on Shabbos. When you get into a shmooze and a conversation, or Dvarim B'Telim, it can lead on to things that are asur, and therefore it says how beautiful it is, the minhag of Yerushalayim, that people don't stay at these events. Very interesting. Obviously, if someone has a possibility of changing that, he walks in and starts a song or changes the conversation to something more positive, it will be a wonderful thing to do. I just thought I'd bring that in as an interesting addition from Bracha. Then also, there's a halacha that if what you want to talk about is related to a loss, then it is not possible to show to Cheftecha. In other words, we said you shouldn't talk about your business on Shabbos, but if it helps you avoid a loss, then that will give it a head to talk about. An example given is if you need to deal with the authority, you can't wait Sunday or Monday, and you need to deal with them over Shabbos, obviously the way that's mostly, you can't make a phone call, but you can go and talk to them, and there's something to negotiate, something to discuss. So these forms of negotiation and discussion that's going to help a person from avoiding a loss, and you didn't even see the loss as substantial as a loss, then it would not be a problem of the Cheftecha on Shabbos. And I just want to add one more thing that I saw on the subject, which Rav Noivud brings to the Maamar Chazal that's brought down in Yerushalmi and Bavli and a couple of places, is that says that the Gemara tells us of a Maaseh B'Chassid Echad, was a very righteous person who went out into his yard and he saw that a part of his wall had fallen, and he now had a hole in the wall, and obviously that meant that his yard was no longer protected from intruders, whether they be two-legged or the four-legged, it was irrelevant, but it was no longer protected, and therefore his wall needs to be repaired. And these thoughts were going through his mind, and he thought to himself, oh, there's a hole in my wall, I need to have it fixed on my Shabbos. And then he realized that he was, this was only in thought, brings the chosh up. He thought to repair it, and he was upset with himself that he had such a thought to repair his wall on Shabbos, and he decided that he's not going to repair the hole, and come what may, he's going to leave the hole in the wall and never repair it, because the thought to repair it came to him on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed for him, and had a bush grow in the hole, and therefore the hole was closed up. But it wasn't just a regular bush, it was a tzlach. A tzlach is a caper bush, and the Gemara was discussing in many places the dealing of a caper bush, because it was a bush that gave off different parts of the bush could be used for different things. It was very profitable to have such a bush for fruits and sell on it. There's a discussion in the Brachos which part you make Hagama, which part you make the Aesop. And so you see there's more than one pot that can be used. The question is, what's the ikar, what's the tafel? So he says, the Gemara says that the tzlach grew in the space, and not only did it close the wall and not necessitate him to make the renovation, but it went even further and became a source of income for him and his household. The Gemara brings us as an example of someone who was careful about what he thought about on Shabbos. Obviously, it's encouraging to see what the Baruch Hu thinks about. Now, with that, we've got to the end of the whole sugya of the Gavra Davar and the Cheftecha, and hold it off the whole year for today, and we'll move on to the Melechus Nachri starting next week.
Thank you.
Have a great week.